welcome to AP U.S. History Podcast. Today's topic is Understanding United States Continental Expansion. We'll begin with the Webster-Ashburton Treaty of 1842. This treaty was a major accomplishment of the Tyler administration because it solved a series of potentially dangerous disputes with Great Britain. The imposition of the Treaty of Paris in 1783 spawned serious boundary disputes between British Canada and the U.S. Overlapping claims around Maine involved over 12,000 square miles. In addition to the northeastern tangle, another difference developed over the correct boundary line between Lake Superior and Lake of the Woods. In 1827, Britain and the U.S. agreed to let the King of the Netherlands arbitrate the issue, and he divided the disputed territory equally between the two claimants. The U.S. Senate rejected the proposal. In the 1838-39 Aroostook War, rival lumberjacks and land agents from New Brunswick and Maine clashed. Authorities on both sides of the border mobilized the militia, and Congress appropriated $10 million for the defense of Maine. Secretary of State Daniel Webster, an Anglophile, and the British Ambassador Ashburton, who had an American wife and had long advocated Anglo-American friendship, were eager to avoid war over a few miles of more or less miserable pine swamp. They met and divided the contested area. The U.S. received 7,000 square miles to Britain's 5,000. Britain received an important road to its eastern provinces, and the president could get Senate approval for the treaty because the U.S. received more land than Britain. Ashburton also yielded some 6,500 square miles of territory between Lake Superior and Lake of the Woods to the Americans. The Webster-Ashburton Treaty terminated an era of accumulated grievances between the U.S. and Britain and opened the way for steady improvement in American-British relations. The acquisition of Oregon. Oregon was claimed by both the U.S. and Britain. The U.S. received Spain's claims through the Transcontinental Treaty of 1819. The U.S. claimed to the southern border of Russian Alaska at 54 degrees, 40 minutes north latitude, and Britain claimed to the southern border of present-day Oregon, 42 degrees north latitude. In 1844, the Democratic presidential nominee James K. Polk ran on a platform calling for the reoccupation of Oregon and the reannexation of Texas. Polk's inaugural address asserted that America's title to Oregon was clear and unquestionable and led it to excited talk of a possible war. Neither the U.S. nor Britain wanted war, and a compromise was reached by extending the Convention of 1818 line, 49 degrees north latitude, to the Pacific Ocean. Both sides were satisfied with the compromise because a major issue involved was harbors on the Pacific for trade with the Orient, not a few thousand more miles of territory. The U.S. received the Strait of Juan de Fuca around Seattle, and Britain received Vancouver. The Texas-Mexican War. Beginning in 1821, Americans, under the leadership of Stephen Austin, began moving into eastern Texas. The Mexican government, in a short-sighted move, wanted the American Mexicans to act as a buffer against future American expansion. In return for land, the Americans agreed to abide by Mexican law, learn Spanish, and become Catholics. By the early 1830s, Texas had a population of about 30,000 American settlers and several thousand slaves. The Mexican government became alarmed at the large influx of American settlers who were not becoming American citizens. And in 1830, Mexico barred further immigration from the U.S., prohibited the additional importation of slaves. In 1831, Mexico abolished slavery and tightened the requirement for the profession of the Catholic faith by all citizens and increased the Mexican military establishment in Texas. In 1835, the Mexican president, Santa Anna, tried to reestablish Mexican control over the Americans in Texas. Up to this time, they had considerable autonomy. American settlers rebelled and established a provisional government. The 188 defenders at the Alamo held out against 4,000 Mexican soldiers for 13 days and bought the Texans time to prepare their defense. At the Battle of San Jacinto in April of 1835, Santa Anna was defeated and captured. Santa Anna recognized Texas' independence as a condition of his release, although he repudiated his agreement once he was back in Mexico City. The Mexican army was too weak to recapture Texas. Texas applied for admission to the Union, but President Jackson refused because he did not want to split the Democratic Party over the slavery issue, and he wanted to avoid war with Mexico. From 1835 to 1845, Texas was an independent country. Finally, after expansionist President James K. Polk was elected, Texas came into the Union for the following reasons. 1. Texas cotton was competing with U.S. cotton for European markets. 2. The U.S. was afraid that Britain and France were interested in securing territory in Texas. And 3. Polk had been elected on a program of manifest destiny, a slogan coined by a journalist that implied that God and nature intended Americans to possess the North American continent. Texas was necessary to achieve Polk's goal of U.S. expansion to the Pacific. politically, the slave state of Texas could be counterbalanced by the soon-to-be-acquired free territory of Oregon. Northern Whigs opposed the annexation of Texas because of the slavery issue. The Mexican War. Mexico refused to recognize the annexation of Texas, and President Polk was determined to get California with its fine harbors on the Pacific. While neither side was looking for war, neither side was willing to go out of the way to avoid one. Polk offered Mexico $30 million for California and New Mexico. When Mexico refused his offer, he ordered U.S. troops into land claimed by both the U.S. and Mexico between the Rio Grande and Nueces rivers. There was a clash between U.S. and Mexican troops. 16 American soldiers were killed, and Polk used this incident as an excuse to have Congress declare war. Mexico was easily defeated. On September 14, 1847, a small American army of around 14,000 men under General Winfield Scott captured Mexico City. The landing of this force at Veracruz, 220 miles east of Mexico City, was the largest amphibious landing in the world up to this time, and in fact would remain so until the British, Australian, and New Zealand landings at Gallipoli in World War I. Mexico sued for peace, and in the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo in February of 1848, Mexico ceded to the U.S. the Rio Grande boundary, California, and the province of New Mexico. The U.S. paid Mexico $15 million and assumed responsibility for about $3 million that the Mexican government owed U.S. citizens. The war added over 500,000 square miles to the U.S. at a total cost of 48 cents an acre, and on January 22, 1848, 11 days before the peace treaty was signed, gold was found in California. No thought was given to any oil or gas. Those riches would come later. But in the first decade after the discovery of gold, over $550 million worth of gold came from California's mines. The Mexican War brought the slavery question onto the national scene. After the Mexican War, Congress would have to decide whether all the new territory acquired would be slave or free. During the war itself, Pennsylvania Representative David Wilmot had put forth a proviso to an appropriations bill that would have forbidden slavery in any land taken from Mexico. The proviso passed the House in both 1846 and 1847, but it was defeated in the Senate, where half the seats were held by men from the slave states. The Gadsden Purchase, 1853. This purchase completed the continental expansion of the U.S. President Pierce wanted to purchase the area for $10 million for a transcontinental railroad route. Northern senators opposed the purchase because they did not want slavery to spread into an area that, under Mexico, was free. 9,000 square miles were cut out of the territory that Mexico agreed to sell. This is the only time in American history that the Senate ever turned down territory offered to it. That's all for this episode of AP U.S. History Podcast. Please join us next time for an overview of the antebellum reform movements.